Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today, and I'm continuing on in the subject about faith, how do we can receive from the Lord? And we're going to begin talking a little bit about little faith because the scriptures talks about that, but we want to be focusing on great faith. And we'll be looking at some passages of scripture that demonstrate that kind of faith that so pleases God. When we talk about little faith, we can think of a passage that is recorded by Jesus where he said, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" He said, you know, the Gentiles seek after, you know, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? And the Lord was saying that not only the grass of the field, but he talks about the sparrows and the beasts of the field. He takes care of them. And are we not of much more value than many sparrows? Also, there's another instance when Jesus entered into a ship, followed by his disciples during their trip. A great tempest arose on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was asleep. His disciples woke him up, crying frantically. They were all about to perish. And these were seasoned fishermen. The Sea of Galilee is such that sudden, violent storms, it's just the way the geography or whatever you want to call it of that area, they can arise. Very dangerous squalls can occur very, very quickly. And so they weren't just little inexperienced weaklings. These were experienced fishermen who spent their life on that sea. And they woke him up crying frantically that they were all about to perish. And in Matthew 8:26, Jesus said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And then in Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 29-31, when Peter was asked to come to Jesus on the water, Jesus bid him come. But when he saw the blowing wind and he saw the waves, he was afraid. He was doing something that normally we can't do. We can't walk on water. And he began to sink and he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." In verse 31, he found out what happened, and we find out what happened in his statement to Peter. And it says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when we think of weak faith, it's really not faith because it's wavering. It's not being convinced. It's not holding fast to what you're desiring, what you're believing. Hebrews 10 and 23 declares, "Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised." Now let's talk about great faith. That's the kind of faith we should want to have. This is unwavering faith. You have loved ones that are not saved. It says we can believe for our household, just as Cornelius did. His whole household was saved when he sent for Peter and heard the word of God preached. We can believe for that and not doubt. Now, sometimes I've known personally, friends, it was on, you know, a father who they witnessed, ministered for years. It was on their deathbed, on the father's deathbed, and it was a nurse who led him to salvation. So we don't know who God is going to use, but he is faithful to answer prayers. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 10, there's a story about a centurion. That kind of faith that I'm talking about will always move God to answer according to the beautiful promises that he has given us, exceeding great and precious promises in the new covenant. And I've always loved this story. In Matthew 8:10, it talks about a Roman centurion who came to him and he asked for in behalf of his servant who was grievously sick at home of the palsy, and he was very, very ill, and he thought he would die. And so he asked the Lord to come and heal him. And then in verse 8 it says that the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And he goes on to say, because of his position as a centurion, he was a man under authority. He would order this soldier to go there, do that, to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he does it. And I've so loved this story, because do you realize how it must have thrilled the heart of Jesus? In verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Hallelujah. And don't you want that kind of faith where, well, think of Jesus. I mean, he came to his own and his own received him not, okay? Jesus wasn't crucified by any particular group. Yes, the Romans were against him. Yes, the Jews and the Pharisees and Sadducees, but Jesus laid down his own life because that was God's plan of salvation. However, when there are instances in the gospel where his heart rejoices because of faith, we have that same potential to delight the Lord. There's another instance. Remember that Canaanite woman who came to Jesus in behalf of her daughter who was vexed by the devil? She wouldn't give up. And in Matthew 15:28, she asks for help from the Lord. I'm just going to turn that. I wasn't going to, but I just want to share the word with you. In 15 and 28, you know, first he ignored her, and then he said, "Is not meat or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs?" Because he had said he's not sent to any but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she responds, "Truth, Lord, yet," and this the translation is, "the little dogs, the pet dogs, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Praise God. Hebrews 11:6 states, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Oh, beloved, God has so much for us. I believe we have not scratched the surface of the blessings, the wonderful things we could experience in our lives if we would only walk in that kind of faith. And it's possible. But you know what? The Lord is very much a gentleman. He never forces anything on us. We have not because we ask not. Don't you want to ask the Lord for great faith? Let's do that right now. I don't want to wait till the end of the broadcast. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're hungry. Lord, I sense in the Spirit, it's not just me, but there are many out there that want that kind of faith of that Canaanite woman, of that Roman centurion. They weren't even Israeli, Lord, but they saw, they believed, they knew that you were a good God, and they understood spiritual principles. And so, Father, you have given us a covenant that has been sealed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's how covenants were made, Lord. Blood had to be shed, and it secured, it sealed the covenant. And so, Father, we can come boldly now, and we ask for great faith. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And, Father, we're believing for that kind of faith. You need that kind of faith in the earth. Father, we don't want to be lacking in any way, but when we stand before you. But Father, we want to be strong in the faith. We want to give you glory as Abraham did. We want to be used of you as your body in this earth in these end times. The time is so short, Lord. We know you're coming back soon. And so, Father, we ask for that great faith that can see miracles, that can see the dead raised, that can see the sick healed, that can see the oppressed delivered, those who are demon possessed, the demons cast out. You've given us, Lord, this ability. You spoke of it in the 16th chapter of Mark. These signs shall follow all them that believe. And Lord, we are them that believe. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. Faith doesn't go by feelings, beloved. Faith does not go by circumstances. Faith is not a feeling that prayer is answered. Many, many Christians seek to exercise faith depending on what they can see, hear, or feel. But it doesn't work that way. Faith is not based on our feelings and emotions or any of our senses. Faith must be based on God's word, regardless of any sense knowledge or feelings. People look to feelings to see prayer, if it has or has not been heard. You know, if they feel good or if there's something happens that encourages them, then it's easy to believe. But if reverses come and those feelings go, and disappointment and doubt start to settle in, then they sink into despair. That's when the shield of faith needs to be raised. That's when the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, needs to be operative in your hands, beloved. Many may quickly accuse God of being unfaithful and untrue to His Word. You've known people like that, or perhaps, you know, you may have done it yourself. And if they hesitate to go this far, then they think it's not God's will to grant the answer. That's why so many go without God has so plainly promised in His Word. We should not go by feelings. First and foremost, we must maintain faith because of what the Word of God says. The Word of God said that the Lord and His Word should have first place in our lives instead of our senses. Faith that is based on what we've done, how well we live, or what experiences we've had will lead to failure in answered prayer. We must believe that God is true and He is faithful to His Word. Praise God. Well, thank the Lord. It's been a blessing to be able to minister to you on this subject this week, and we'll see what the Lord has for us next week. Perhaps we may continue on in the same vein. We'll see. But I trust that you have been stirred. My heart has been stirred, and I'm receiving that kind of faith. I want to see miracles in your life, and if you have a need, write those down. Let us pray together. Let's believe for the impossible, beloved. Amen and amen. We have the victory. He's given us that power. He's given us the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose. Well, I could go on for an hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for your love and your prayers and your support. I invite you to write. And if you're new, I invite you also to be part of our spiritual family. I send monthly letters of encouragement. I don't appeal for finances. I trust the Lord, as He has for over 50 years, to keep this ministry going. God bless you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.